Good morning. The time is 9:07. Continues to be overcast, along with a little fog and mist in downtown Wausau, again at our Bull Falls Studios, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 34 degrees is the temperature. Again, way above what we expect this time of year, the weekend before Christmas. But if you're looking for snow, if you're looking for a white Christmas, we've known for quite a while it wasn't going to happen, and it's not going to happen. In fact, by the time we get to Christmas Day, temperature will be around 50 degrees. Really amazing stuff. Don't remember it being anything like this for quite a while, but still, it is Christmas time, and hopefully you got the Christmas spirit, and hopefully we'll have a terrific weekend. I'm Chad Holmes, hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up next, at 9:20, I should say, we will be joined by Paul Miklik for our weekly chat concerning Wisconsin sports. And I'm going to suggest that maybe the Brewers were Santa Claus to the New York Mets and their old friend David Stearns with a rather interesting trade, where the Brewers traded Adrian Hauser and Tyrone Taylor for a guy that's not going to play this year. But we'll talk about that coming up. Talk about the Packers as they try to keep their playoff hopes alive this weekend. The Bucks and a whole bunch more coming up at 9:20 this morning. Again, joined across the way behind the glass with my producer engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We talked a little bit about the options in the last hour concerning what to watch on Christmas Eve in terms of different choices with It's a Wonderful Life, with Home Alone, with A Christmas Story, even a little Sunday Night Football. But during the course of the Christmas season that we've seen for many, many years, there's always the favorites, Charlie Brown Christmas or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and others.
Or How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. What are your top picks? When you're going through the Christmas season, the things that you look forward to and that you may have seen them over and over and over again, but you're still going to want to see it again, and always brings a smile to your face and grows that heart three times, just like the Grinch.
Well, some of the classics are right. Along with the classics, like a Charlie Brown Christmas we watch every year, the Grinch, the animated version, although the live action version is pretty good too, but that the animated version is the one that we enjoy. There's the Polar Express. We always watch that movie every year. It's even better if you watch it with a surround sound on, because it feels like the train is actually in the room. And then you have a National Lampoon's A Christmas Vacation, which is always hilarious. And then my personal favorite that I love so much, I watch it every year, is the Muppet A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah, that's a good choice. I forgot about that one. That is exceptionally good as well. So,
and that was the first movie that was made right after Jim Henson had passed away. It's what really means a lot.
Yeah, and it's really been something that they were able to continue and still be able to provide some classic entertainment, and especially for the kids. So, no, that's a good guess.
It's such a wonderful film. I mean, the humor is fantastic. And the characters are just amazing. And the music itself is just, It really tugs at the heartstrings and makes you feel good. Mm.
If you had to choose just between a Charlie Brown Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what would you choose?
Definitely Charlie Brown Christmas.
Why is that?
Well,
I choose Rudolph, actually. I don't know why. I think it's...
Well, not just because it's a family tradition. Because that Charlie Brown is a character that I can relate to. I mean, he always tries to do the right thing. Even if everybody else is, you know, trying to, you know, stick to the commercialism of Christmas, the fact that he's able to show us the true spirit of Christmas is, it really means a lot to me. And it's really just a great message every year.
I will say that Charlie Brown is a better show, but Rudolph is more easier to, there are moments that are just easy to make fun of. Hermie the Christmas elf and the whole elves and the way they talk. It's just like, you know, Hermie, you know, it's like this, it's
it is really funny.
Right. I think when you talk about having the spirit of the season and the spirit of the program, the Charlie Brown is very, very hard to beat. And you're right. Charlie Brown is one of those great characters. And of course, I'm sure you know that Charlie Brown basically based on Charles Schulz. He said it. He basically saw Charlie Brown as himself. So, and there's a great group around him. I mean, this eccentric. I mean, and even the characters with edge, like Lucy. I mean, she's got that edge, you know, yeah. And it adds to it. And Peppermint Patty with her edge. And I mean, it's just it's such good stuff. So, absolutely. And if you go out and start singing some Christmas carols, please, hopefully, don't have happen what happened to a 14-year-old in the United Kingdom.
Oh, no.
There was a 14-year-old over in England singing Christmas carols at her home when neighbors called police to report a woman was screaming. they thought the girl was a woman screaming instead of singing Christmas carols. Police responded, found there was no danger.
according to the neighbors?
I guess she was singing with a lot of verve and a lot of energy, but apparently maybe with not a lot of skill.
Oh, boy.
So exactly right. Another thing is... as well, it's really something, I saw some interesting numbers. Of course, religion is a very big part of the holiday. It's a religious holiday.
Absolutely.
But yet people are able to have friends and live with and be close to people that have different religions. A new study has found that 61% of Americans said they have at least some friends who have a different religion than they themselves possess. And even 18% of respondents said that hardly any or none of their friends have the same religion they do. And the thing about it is, it's amazing. I was doing some research. I think there's somewhere north of 2,000 different religions in the world. I mean, just an incredible number. So the odds of you having everybody basically be the same religion as you is very, very slim.
Very, very slim.
And also the thing about religion and faith itself is the word faith. A belief.
Yeah, it's a belief in a higher power, but not a specific one.
But you don't know. I mean, faith is like you believe, but you don't have all the answers either in terms of, because you talk about the scientific method in terms of proving. So people can say, well, I'm right about my religion. Well, you can't really prove it. You don't have, I don't have God himself. Said, yeah. Well,
faith is not about seeing. It's about believing. Like, I'm not a big on religion itself. I'm more of a person of faith. I believe that there is a higher power that watches over us, but I can't prove it. But the thing is, I don't want to prove it. I don't need to prove it because it's not something I'm trying to force onto other people. It's my own personal belief. But, you know, there's people in this world that say just they have their own faith and their own religion, and it's either their religion or
my way or the highway.
Exactly.
And the thing about it is that it's great to have your faith, but respect others as well, because they have they have their own faith. And that's the thing that I think that, and these numbers show it, that we are, as a people, hopefully able to interact and be close to and be friends with people that have different faiths. And also, one of the frustrating aspects about religion and some faith as well is when they use it to you know, start wars and stuff like that, where it sounds completely the opposite of what any true religion and true faith would be. You know, human beings are complicated, I guess, is the bottom line, because, you know, we are all very complicated. We all try to strive, I think, to do our best, but at times we come up a little bit short. And
well,
I think,
if we started off as perfect, there'd be no room for improvement.
That's right. And the thing about it is, as we go into the new year especially, that's why we have New Year's resolutions, because we're not perfect. We got
to
look at
what we try to be anyway, because that's a perfect is, you know, a... Well, to me, I think perfect is like normal. There's no such thing.
There's a famous line from Vince Lombardi who said that, you know, while perfection may not be achievable, striving for perfection is what you want to do, that you want to try your best all the time. Just try to do the best you can in every circumstance that you have. So, again, it's one of those things where respect everybody. And even this time of year, and I sometimes think about those who are not of the Christian faith, and so many people that are, but of course those that are not have to live their lives with this, what you call, just overwhelming feeling of Christmas for the entire month of December. So again, let's have respect for everybody and be able to respect our own faith and then respect others' faith and still be close to people and really truly live the spirit of the season.
Absolutely. And even if you don't agree with the same religion as somebody else, you don't have to shame them for it.
No.
Just politely say, hey, well, I'm not sure I believe that, but I respect your beliefs.
And
yeah, we did that. I think we'd all be a lot less miserable and more happy.
The time is 9:18. Waiting for the sun to break through. I don't think it's going to break through today. It's going to stay overcast. It's going to stay a little bit dreary, but it's going to stay mild. It's going to be well above. We're not expecting to go below freezing here for a little while. So low temperatures even tomorrow night above freezing. So we'll continue to update you on the weather. But coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Micklig. We'll delve into the issues of Wisconsin sports. That's coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Wednesday, the Wausau West High School hockey team opens up play in the showdown in Titletown, taking on Fond du Lac St. Mary Springs. Hear all the exciting action live on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with pregame show at 12:20 and the opening faceoff at 12:30. Wausau West Warrior High School hockey on Bull Falls Radio is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurant, Sun Printing, Graphic Packaging International, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Menke Automotive, Shine Chiropractic, and Picks and Pieces. It's Wausau West Hockey versus Fond du Lac St. Mary Springs from the showdown in Titletown, Wednesday, starting with pregame show at 12:20 on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Time to talk Wisconsin sports with Mr. College Football. You really annoy me sometimes, I tell you. Just to share something here. I'm going to share here.
No, I lost last night.
I know, but generally here. We for a long time, whether some like high school playoffs and then college bowls, just to keep it interesting, because otherwise there's no reason to watch college bowls. But we and a few other folks, we pick the games. And unfortunately, this guy takes it way too seriously. And unfortunately, at the same time, he usually wins, which really annoys me. And every night at the end of the bowl games, he'll send out a group text with the standings with a little commentary on top of it. But until last night, you were undefeated. So you made...
I made a bad pick last night.
And the thing about it is, with that pick, it was... If you're gonna make a bad pick, you may as well make it the biggest bad.
Well, what was
pick.
The final score? At one point it was 38 to nothing.
I know Syracuse finished with a zero, so they never.
That's
scored.
That's really bad. Then.
They never scored. So, but you're still in first place. I'm still tied for last, but there's still time.
It's fun. It does.
Because otherwise, it's like, you know, I'll actually check the scores because that's the only reason.
There is no. Possible reason, and I'm sorry to say this, because I'm doing Sully's show tomorrow. But
that is my Christmas miracle right there.
There's no way that I would have cared about the South Florida Syracuse game last night.
There's no way you would have cared about that comeback the other day either. You got all excited.
Well, that was funny though. Down 35-14 and in the fourth quarter and
well,
then
it wasn't funny
it
because I had the others. I had the team that blew it. You know, that was not funny. But yeah. So let's jump in. Actually, I'm going to talk about baseball because I have officially become I know more. About this, every time I read a story about a Brewer trade, they mention, well, the small market Brewers. This trade is the equivalent of Santa Claus trading Donner and Blitzen for a reindeer ain't going to be able to work on Sunday night. This trade where the Brewers worked with their old buddy David Stearns, sending Adrian Hauser and Tyrone Taylor to the Mets for a pitcher named Coleman Crowe. And Coleman Crowe, and he's not even ranked, even before his arm injury, was not ranked as, you know, a must-have Mets prospect. This trade just kind of really annoyed me. What's your take on that?
There's two ways to look at it. I mean, you're right about that. That guy's not playing for the major league this year. I mean,
no,
most likely. He's a triple A guy.
Yeah, Tommy John
I mean,
surgery.
You know what I mean? Like, he's, at best, he would maybe get back in there and, yes, in the triple A. So it's totally useless.
And real fast, I'm not saying these two players the Brewers gave up are or world beaters.
That's where I was going next.
But I'm talking about what it says about the whole mindset of the Milwaukee Brewers under Mark Antanasio right now.
Well, I just don't know how much money we're saving. I don't. The whole thing is just kind of, it seems like a mute trade. Like there was literally for no, I don't know what the point.
You may as well cut him.
Correct. I have no idea what the point was behind it. I really don't. I don't because those guys, Taylor, yeah, he had some dumb. He did some good things at the end of last year, but he was awful before that. Hauser has done nothing. He's below average number five pitcher at best in rotation. And then we pick up some other. I don't know what we're getting out of it anywhere. I don't know what anything's getting. Anybody's getting out of it.
They're just trying to. I think use mirage and, you know, somehow hoping that if you, you know, that you're hoping that your smarts are going to be able to beat talent. I mean, that's what it feels like. The Brewers are kind of that way. We're going to maximize everything we have. And then hopefully that's enough to beat. And they've been fortunate over the last number of years because you've had Pittsburgh, who's always struggling. You have Cincinnati, who tends to be struggling. You got lucky that the Cardinals, for whatever reason, have lost their bearing the last couple of years. And then the Cubs have been kind of wasting, I think, a number of years. So, but it's not going to stay that way forever, I would think. Then again, maybe it will. I don't know.
I think it's a fine line, especially with them. I think it is a fine line, a slippery slope that they might fall. You're right. I think you're right. It's going to happen.
And I'm just so just tired of this mentality where everybody's saying, well, they're a small market team. I wish, again, if he proved to me, oh, we're losing money.
Yeah.
But they're not. I know they're not. I don't.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
I don't know.
I'm going to get you frustrated right now because I'm going to say is, can we just not enjoy, though, what we've had for the last probably
I do
8 to 10
yes,
years? You know what I mean?
I'm on record because over the years where, you know, people say, well, I'd rather, you know, trade up, you know, have a Packer Super Bowl for a couple of bad years. I'm somebody that I want to be there. I want to have a chance every year. I think that if you're, and like you, and I think of something you've said, you just want them to be in the playoffs because it makes winter shorter.
Yes.
And then if they're out of it by December, you know, then it's, you know, it makes your winter a lot longer.
Yep.
And I think the same way with the Brewers or the Bucks or the Packers or whoever it may be, give us a chance here. I'm of that mind. No, so I, again, I'm not saying that the mentality of trying to be good and having an opportunity every year, but this doesn't come across that way. It comes across as just being cheap to me, and that's
correct. And the thing is, at this point in time, I think we have to give them the benefit of the doubt until we see it proven on the field that they've dropped. Because I don't know what they're doing. Because I really have no idea what this means. This trade does that mean Burns is next?
And the whole thing about it is, hey, if they say, hey, we got this, you know, this Churio, whatever his name is.
Yep.
And we're going to kind of latch on to him. We're going to allow him to grow. We're going to put in some of our other, because they've had some talented guys. I could go with it. But I agree with you. I don't know what their plan is. Are they going for the playoffs? Are they not going for the playoffs? Because they are kind of a mix right now.
Do they know? Maybe. I mean, I hope they do. Right. I mean, I would expect they do. But, I mean, I can't tell.
Right. No.
I mean, because they do have a couple young guys, pitchers-wise.
Right.
Are they going to put theirs at Gasser? Are they going to put him in the rotation? Or are they going to the younger guy? Because I'm going to be honest
and
with
also,
you,
and if I that, go with them. And also, in that case, if you do go with them, you can't be a yo-yo where they have a couple bad starts and we're going to yank them. You're going to have to go through the growing pains. You have to have that mentality. You as a coach and a program leader, you got to have that plan. And maybe they do have it. We just don't know about it.
And maybe that's their plan, is that they're going to go there. And if things fall apart, and they're going to go with Burns. I mean, they're going to trade him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Then they'll trade him.
We're going to come back, have more with Paul Micklin coming up after a news update next on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Let's talk about your favorite guy, Joe Barry.
You know, I watched or listened to his interview yesterday.
Yeah, and credit, he came and talked.
Oh my man, we're not giving him any credit.
Okay,
I came up with questions for you.
Oh boy,
because I want to know a couple things. Number one, is this a good question from a media?
Okay.
Joe, have you lost a team? What do you think the answer is going to be, Chad?
That is the equivalent of, you know, losing in triple overtime to be eliminated from the playoffs and saying, tough loss.
Bingo. That's terrible. I mean,
and I have to, I'll say that's a good point, because I got to say, and I think you watch probably even more press conferences than I do, that the art of asking a good question has really fallen by the wayside, hasn't it?
I thought the whole interview was terrible, to be honest with you.
And the thing is, there are things you can ask that can really get it to the heart of the matter, you know? And I don't know if you heard, but LaFleur said that it wasn't the scheme last week against Tampa Bay, but it was the communication. And that really upset your guy, Campbell, who said, hey, I've been playing. And again, I thought, Campbell, don't talk. Don't say you've been playing hurt. That's why you're playing lousy.
You stuck up for him a couple weeks ago. You did. You remember that, Chad.
And now he's lost me because he's getting on social media and saying, well, I've been playing hurt. Well, after LaFleur saw this, he called him up and said, hey, why don't you just take the week off to get better? And I thought, hey, that's probably the right thing to do, because if you go out on the field and you don't think you can do the job, you're not going to do the job, are you?
You don't want him part of it. I find
it hard to believe that the issues that led to Baker Mayfield looking like an all-pro quarterback was just communication.
And again, if it goes to communication, and I'm going to sit here and say, I wasn't saying this about Joe Barry because they're starting to lose. I haven't said this. Chad, I've been on this. He should never have been the defensive coordinator.
Right.
Never. That goes on one man's job, and that's Matt LaFleur. That's his responsibility. You know, and when he's talking about, when Joe Barry's talking about, it's been a rough week for him and his family. It's been a rough week for me and my family, too, because I have to watch them play football every Sunday.
And his rough week ends on Friday with a nice check. And again, it makes me sound hypocritical because I don't like talking about the money, but at the same time, there are tougher things than getting a little bit. The thing is, it's not that hard to avoid social media. Because that's where most of this...
He said he read... He literally said in his interview, he said he reads your comment. I read it.
As in the words of maybe Paul Micklig and others, that's a you problem then, Joe.
Yes. That's a you problem because you don't need to listen to it. You get to come into Lambeau Field every day for the last 3 years, one of the greatest jobs in America, to coach football. And I'm going to feel sorry for you.
And I will go back to one of my favorite topics. The only reason he's there is because of nepotism.
Nepotism. Yep. And that's what, it's a joke. And that's why this is on Matt LaFleur. So when people are like, well, you know.
There are people coaching at the high school level in Wisconsin that would be a better defensive coordinator than he is.
Yes.
But they don't have the connections that he had with his old man who went 0-16 with Detroit.
Yes. I mean, think about what Joe Barry, what did he do to earn that job? Give me one thing.
He worked with Matt LaFleur when they were both in Washington.
Again, that's what he's earned.
Again, it's who you know. And that's one of the problems, not just in football, but I think in business in America right now. But that's all different.
Correct.
And the thing is, I usually don't expect a firing, but I was surprised they didn't make the move Monday. I really was. I thought they would make the move because this week, if Carolina is like the worst offense by far in the NFL.
By far.
I mean, they won two games this year and they were both 9-7, I think.
Yep.
So if you're this is a natural bounce back week for the defense. It would have been an opportunity to get a new guy in, get some, hey, make them feel really good going into the Minnesota game next week. It almost felt as though this could have been one of those Hail Mary passes to try to get to these last three games.
The question is, because you just said bring somebody in. They weren't going to bring somebody in. That was a problem.
But you know as well, even if you bring in somebody that is a linebacker, coach, or whoever may be on staff, there are still differences. I mean, there are differences. They may be subtle differences, but you know it. There's probably guys that are sitting behind Joe who say the same thing. You know, I mean, if my old man, if my father-in-law had been a coach, I'd be in that seat and not you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know. Did you know that the guy got fired, that this happened, that he said, which again, this was inappropriate, a Detroit beat writer. Did you remember? I didn't even know that until this week.
What was that? Because I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the details.
He said to Rod Marinelli. He said, do you wish that your daughter would have married a better defensive coordinator?
I remember, yes.
Yes. I mean, which again was 100% inappropriate.
I will say one thing. I would never have the guts to say that. I'll give that guy a little bit for guts. Maybe the guy's probably a meathead, but
he was always on ESPN. It was funny because he kind of was on ESPN all the time, and he never was seen again.
Rod took him out.
he went bye bye. But the funny thing is, not the funny thing with that is, the ironic, I would say more than anything, is they say that they have nobody on staff that can be a defense coordinator. Okay,
please.
I'm going to tell you this right now. What are they doing right now? Are you telling me that line coach cannot be the defense coordinator? Because you shouldn't be in the NFL if at no time that you think you can't be defense coordinator.
Make Jair Alexander the defensive coordinator then.
Yes.
He's not doing anything else.
Take anybody. Take anybody.
I mean,
Campbell, let him go.
Because I mean, the last 2 weeks, and again, I try to kind of know my lane. But the last 2 weeks, that last drive against the Giants where they let Tommy DeVito just dink and dunk his way downfield to get the game-winning field goal, which was, I thought, again, a dereliction of duty. And then last week, this whole, I mean, again, Baker Mayfield, a couple of years ago, his Cleveland tenure basically ended with a four-interception performance at Lambeau Field. And he made mistake after mistake after mistake. He's never been a consistent quarterback. They made him look like the former Heisman Trophy winner.
Yep.
Again, I'm not saying I have all the answers, but boy, it just felt like a very passive approach generally, and one that, and especially, and I said this to you last week, to show how bad the Packer D was against the Giants, look at what New Orleans, a mediocre team, did against DeVito last Sunday. Again, these last 2 weeks with the playoffs on the line, and I know a word that you kind of use is unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable at the NFL level. I mean, he kept on saying yesterday in his interview, you know, there's a standard in the NFL. Yeah, there is, and you're not cutting it.
He's never cut it.
Never cut it. And so I don't understand why he's there. And to be honest with you, go back to that Giants game. The only reason that we actually took the lead was Barkley dropped the ball. Literally.
After when they were in a situation where the Packers needed to stop them and they knew they were going to run it, he gashed them a couple of times.
It gashed them down the field. They were going to put the game away. He happened to just drop, literally drop the ball.
Great call, Joe.
That was all coaching on Packers' part to say, hey, can you run for 30 yards and drop the ball? That's literally...
That's next-level stuff from Joe.
That is next. That you can get those guys in their head that you can make them drop it. I mean, that's where... And that is the frustrating part. The frustration part is not, I said at the beginning of the year, they kept him around, so that gave them a one-year buffer, and that's exactly what they did. Yep. And that is an awful, awful, awful way to keep somebody.
And the first time I've actually seen, other than you say that, I saw an article this week that said basically, why are more people not talking about Matt LaFleur? It's because they have Joe Barry to kick around.
Yep. And they left him there because they knew the offense was going to take a little time to get going because they have all those young guys. So they want somebody else there to be the fall guy so next year that they were ready to go. Again, some people could say genius, but I'm going to tell you this right now. The clock has starting to tick on Matt LaFleur. And again, you had... 8 first-rounders. 6 of them were on the field. 6 of them were on the field on Sunday. 6 first-rounders, Chad. That's a lot of first-rounders.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
So it's going to be, at the end of the day, somebody's fault, right?
Yeah. Somebody's got to, you know, take responsibility. It's the responsibility business. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, you can't just say, oh, look over there. Look over there.
Yep.
You know, that's what they're doing right now. And this week is actually interesting because there's no reason why they shouldn't win, but boy... It feels like this, again, one of those games where it could truly turn into a disaster if they don't play well. Because you can't lose to Carolina and have your hopes dashed by that team. They're so bad.
On Christmas Eve, with what they have, this is a game where if you don't win and at least make, you can kind of fool us and say, well, look at that. Joe Barry knows what he's doing. He held them to... Oh. If you don't do that,
if you just show up, you should be able to hold them down. So if you don't, you're right.
I mean, I do the wheels totally completely fall off if they lose? I don't know if Matt LaFleur understands. I would think
all
he does.
All of a sudden, they might be a 6-11 team.
Well, what did they say their record's going to be, Chad?
It's like 7-10.
And
it's looking, if I was a betting man, I would not be surprised if they're 7-10, even if they win this week.
And the sad thing is, you said 10-7.
I did.
And you're 10-7. Should have happened.
It was probably, you know, look at the percentages, you're exactly right. If you were to say, okay, everything, how it all lined up. But they have found ways not to maximize this year by any stretch of the imagination.
And that is what the disappointing part, I think, is we talk about this all the time, maximizing what you have and where you should be. I can handle being at a certain record if that's where we're supposed to be at.
Right.
They're not supposed to be at that level right now with the schedule that they had at the end of the year.
And they were a Bears fourth quarter meltdown and dropped Hail Mary from being tied with the Bears. Who would have thunk that?
And the Bears are playing.
They look like a team that actually has an idea what they're doing right now.
They look like Detroit from last year. Like they're turning that corner a little bit and playing good football, solid football. The Packers are playing good offense, considering they're missing quite a few of those weapons, too, to be honest with you. There's a lot of good signs there, and they got a lot of talent on that defensive side. The future is bright for him, but the only problem is this is what is this? This is not like a patient league. This is a win now.
All right. What about those Providence Friars?
I know, Chad. You got right now. You got the Brewer shirt or Brewer hat on, where you're down on them, then you just wear a Marquette sweatshirt when they just got blitzed by Providence.
Well, apparently Providence is like playing teams. They were put UWM and UWGB on their schedule because they're world beaters against Wisconsin and Marquette.
It was Providence. I mean, they are a good team. I mean, they have a good record. It's not like they weren't. But it was a little disconcerting that Marquette just kind of got – they never got in a run. Right. You know, you're kind of waiting for their run. They never got in any run. I don't know if you saw it, but there was never where, like, okay, here's the Marquette team that we saw for the so that was, hopefully we can just chalk that up to a complete flop. They got to get back against Georgetown tonight. They got to get that taken care of. You got Wisconsin against Chicago State, which is not going to be an easy one for them. It should be, but they're not. Tonight is going to be a fun night of college basketball for the state of Wisconsin. If anybody has a little time to watch those two teams play, because I think it's for both teams. Marquette, they have to right the ship right now.
And the Bucks, 6-0 homestand, 15 wins in a row at home. And again, I mean, people can nitpick, but they're doing darn well, aren't they?
Yeah, because it wasn't a couple weeks ago.
I was nitpicking.
I thought you were saying they were.
I was saying bring back Bud to be the defensive coach because everybody said that he was the problem.
And again, are they?
I wonder what Bud's doing. Enjoying Christmas?
Well, you know what Bud's doing is he's counting his money going. Chad said I wouldn't be happy if I was fired because my $4 million. He's wrong. I'm sitting on the beach with my family, having a great old time. Santa's coming in a couple days, and Santa's going to give me another bag of money from the Bucks. And you and me are sitting here right now.
Bud, send me a card. Nice little check in there. Come on.
He should.
But they're, you know, feeling pretty good as we go up to Christmas.
When we talked about this, besides the time when they lost to Indiana at Vegas, with the schedule coming up, we said this a couple weeks ago, they were going to have to make, they're going to be able to make a run and start you know, stockpiling some of those W's. Now they go on the road, I think, 7 of the next 8 games. Their only game that's at home is January 1st against the Pacers in that stretch. They got 4 games here that are against teams that are in the playoffs on the eastern side. 2 against New York, who's a tied for the 4th seed. They have to go. If they can go 3-1 in this stretch before January 1st, that'd be a good stretch.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Chad, and you have a great week.
See you in 2024.
Yep.
Coming back, one more segment to go here on WXCO.
I'm Chad Holmes. Join former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We do nothing but talk high school sports for 2 hours every Wednesday night. Plus special guests. Each Wednesday, we'll be joined by one of our area high school head coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. In addition, Jeff and I will break down what's going on in boys and girls high school basketball and boys and girls hockey in central Wisconsin. It's the Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Plus, if you missed the show, just go to bullfallsradio.com/sports or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you. One more segment to go here on this Friday. Chad Holmes Show, December the 22nd of 2023. Yep, I can't keep saying it because, well, temperature-wise, you don't believe it. It's so warm out there, but it is December the 22nd, and, of course, heading into a great weekend. I like it. I like it when the holiday lands on a Monday, don't you?
Yep, it gives us a three-day weekend. You can't complain about that.
Exactly, because sometimes when you have a holiday that lands like on a Tuesday, you'd have a weekend, then you have to come back to work for a day, then you have the holiday.
Yeah, that's
I like it having convenient. Where it's all connected, you know, and yep, that's the way we like it.
All at the same time.
Exactly. So let's take a look at some famous events that occurred on this date in history. Back in 1964, comedian Lenny Bruce was convicted of obscenity. On this date in 1993, singer Michael Jackson, fighting child molestation allegations, issued a video statement in which he said he was totally innocent of any wrongdoing. On this date in the year 2000, singer Madonna and film director Guy Ritchie were married in Scotland. On this date in 2001, Richard Reed attempted to destroy a passenger airliner by igniting explosives hidden in his shoes aboard American Airlines Flight 63. On this date in 2010, the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, the 17-year-old policy banning homosexuals serving openly in the United States military, was signed into law by President Barack Obama. On this date in 2020, Argentine soccer superstar Lionel Messi scored his 644th goal during a 3-0 victory to break Pele's record for most goals for one club. Some famous people that are celebrating their birthdays here on December the 22nd. Actor Hector Elizondo is 87 years old today. TV anchor Diane Sawyer was on 60 Minutes, ABC News anchor as well. Diane Sawyer is 78. Actor Ralph Fiennes is 61 years old today. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, celebrating his 53rd birthday. I thought he was older, actually, but Ted Cruz, 53 years old today. Chris Carmack of Grey's Anatomy and The OC turns 43 today. Jordan Sparks, American Idol. Also, she is the daughter of former New York Giants defensive back Philippe Sparks, but Jordan Sparks, 34 years old today. Meghan Trainor turning 30, and Joshua Bassett from the High School Musical TV series turning 23 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Some special events, not many being acknowledged today. It is Abilities Day. It is also Cookie Exchange Day.
Well, that's nice.
I haven't been exchanging cookies. I've just been taking cookies. So I'm sort of not. I'm really about half of Cookie Exchange Day. It is Date Nut Bread Day as well. And for one more time in 2023, could this be the day you get it right?
I certainly hope so.
Our number for the day, 100 million.
100 million.
I will say a little hint.
Okay.
It is something Americans don't do every year.
100 million Americans.
They do not do this. It's something they should do.
Is it, let's see. Is it wash their hands up more than once a day?
No, but it's a good guess, but 100 million Americans do not visit the dentist each year.
Wow.
And frankly, I'm one of those 100 million. I'm not good about going to the dentist each year. So that's our final number of the day. Again, next week, we'll be bringing you some new stuff, but also some mixture of some other interviews we've had over the course of the last couple of months. So, Ian, I know you'll be traveling next week. So appreciate all you've done, and I appreciate the fact that you've been able to help us since we moved here to the new studio. Have yourself a great Christmas. Enjoy Burlington next week, and enjoy Sully's college football page tomorrow without me as well.
I will. You have a Merry Christmas also, Chad. I look forward to working with you in the new year.
Absolutely.
2024.
Well, hard to believe, huh? Hard to believe. But, but we're looking forward. It's going to be a very exciting year, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Coming up at 10 o'clock, it will be an news update from the CBS News team, also from Terry Bell and our Civic Media News Group. Brittany Merlot will be back with our area news. And then from 10 until noon, it is As Goes Wisconsin. Have yourselves a wonderful Christmas weekend. Have a lot of fun with family and friends, and we'll catch you again next week here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.